Let's pray together. Father, your name is powerful. There's nobody else like you. You're so good. There's no rival. There's no equal. We just sang that you are above all. And we're so glad to be together this morning, to be in your presence, to enjoy your goodness, your love, your mercy, your grace. And Father, we ask now that you would turn our minds and our hearts and rivet them fresh and anew to the truth of your word. God, speak to us. We want to hear from you this morning. May it be unmistakable that you speak in and through your word in this time. We pray together in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. My name is Ken Nabby. I'm the regional president of Converge Great Lakes, and Pastor Levi asked me a number of months ago if I could come up and be here this morning on his final Sunday before he embarks on his sabbatical leave. And so it really is my privilege to be with you this morning, to speak from God's word, and to both challenge you and pray for you in this kind of next chapter of journey. So if I say the two words, March 2020, what comes to mind? Anybody want to groan? Let's just groan together. March 2020, oh, pandemic has become a word in our vocabulary that we say routinely. March 2020 was really when the American culture attempted to shut down and control things and try to manage the spread of the virus. And now, 2 years later, over 1 million people in America have died. We were plunged, forced into our homes. Remember? Like, you weren't supposed to go out. Kids dialed into school, elementary school kids, dialed in via Zoom or Google Meet or something like that to meet with their teacher and their peers, and you know, masks everywhere, and restaurants shut down, and Zoom, all of a sudden Zoom became a vocabulary word for all of us, right? DoorDash, our best friend, Uber Eats. I don't know if you have these up here in this far north, but you know, you found a way to get some food, right? Come on now. This was a fascinating opportunity to dial down as a people, to slow down, to quiet ourselves. How did that go for you, by the way? I remember my wife saying, I have got to go for a drive and get away from these kids. Can I get a witness, right? Yes, my kids are safer when I'm away from them sometimes. A lot of people wrote articles about how to enjoy the benefits of the time off and how to work from home. Few Americans, only a very small minority, created new habits that lasted for any length of time. Everybody kept clamoring for, can we just get back to normal? COVID, however, has changed things, hasn't it? Maybe for a very long time. You could say that COVID has permanently dented the American culture or the American mindset in a lot of different ways. And we could talk about that also in church, how COVID has impacted our gathering together. Now, I'm not here to discuss the ramifications of pandemic response or any of that kind of stuff. What I'm here to talk about is God's design for rest. God's call to his people for renewal, to engage with him in fresh and new and challenging ways. Your pastor is about to engage in what I would suggest to you is actually a very difficult task, to completely unplug from ministry, all the activities, to redirect his attention to resting, recreating, renewing his heart with the Lord and freshening the vision for this, your church, Evangel. And I want to commend you and your leadership for making the principled decision to embrace this as a gift. It's not only just a gift for Pastor Levi and his family, it's that for sure, but it's also a gift for you, as we'll talk about here in just a minute. Every one of us has a chance to grow, to learn, to engage. And so today's message isn't just for Pastor Levi, it's for all of us. It's for anyone who names the name of Christ and who aims to follow him. You see, we have this phrase in American culture. I'm going to start it and you finish it out loud, okay? If I said 24/7, 365, 24/7, 365, what does that mean? It means every day, all the time, unrelenting, nonstop. 24/7, 365. And in a lot of ways, that's really true of American culture. We don't know how to slow down, how to unplug, how to do what we'll learn this morning in the scriptures, how to really rest and renew. So I want to ask you two questions this morning in our time. They're on the handout if you grab that on your way in. The two questions are pretty simple. First, what is Sabbath rest? And how are we to think about it in our modern day? That's the question number one. And second, I just want to briefly talk about how is Sabbath rest linked to the notion of a sabbatical leave, an extended rest. It's my prayer for you today that we'll stay plugged into the scriptures. Let the scripture speak to our hearts and our minds and challenge us to live differently. We live in a culture that's 24/7, 365, and if you're going to learn to rest, to renew, to follow the biblical pattern of rhythm and renewal and refreshment, you will swim upstream. So first, what is Sabbath and why is it important? In order to answer this question, we've got to do a little bit of a survey of several passages. So if you have your Bible or your smartphone, turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, the very first book in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 2. And if you're following online, please be sure and open up your Bibles there as well. We'll put the passage on the screen. Genesis 1, God has created all that we see. Genesis 2 is a recap. So the heavens, verse 2, so the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. On the seventh day, God had completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it he rested from his work of creation. Now, why did God rest exactly? He wasn't tired, right? He wasn't exhausted. It's not like he got to the end of a long week and said, whew, I better take a break. Now, there are two key words in chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, that inform how we're to think about this idea of rest. And the first word is maybe a word that you've heard. It's Shabbat. Shabbat is the word that we've transliterated into Sabbath. It literally means rest, to stop, to cease. On the seventh day, God had completed his work that he had done, and he Shabbat. He stopped. He rested on the seventh day. Some say that that word is better translated as ceased. He ceased his work. Sabbath is more than simply stopping something, however. And we see this in the second word that's just a few verses later, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. If you write in your Bibles, you can underline the word put, or the two words put him. That's one word in Hebrew. It's the word nuach. And what it literally means is to rest and to dwell. God put Adam and Eve in the garden and they settled. They were going to live there. They were going to dwell there. They were going to be with God. That's why the seventh day is made holy. It's set apart so that we can be with God, so that his creation could enjoy him. And I think what Genesis chapter 2 does is it puts these two concepts together, that you cease, you stop, and you be with God. You dwell with him. This is truly the concept of the Sabbath, to rest and to dwell, to stop working, Shabbat, and to be with God, Nuach. The two of those together are what it means to Sabbath with God. Now back to our survey. If you keep working your way through Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, God has called his people out of slavery. They're moving toward the promised land. Moses goes up on Mount Sinai. God gives the Ten Commandments as the direction for how his people are going to live, and in a lot of ways, counterculturally. Exodus chapter 2, verse 18. By the way, notice here, this is not a new command. The very first word there is remember. God is reminding them of that which he had already put in place. It's not a new command. This is a reminder. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter. Now notice how it gets expanded. Your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And all I want you to see here, we could talk a lot about this one command, but all I want you to really see here is God is saying to his people who had just come out of slavery, that they were slaves to the Egyptians, to the Pharaoh who was brutal, and for them it was 24/7, 365. And here in the Ten Commandments, God says, I am a generous God. You will have one day to just rest and be with me. Not just you, but your whole family. And not just your whole family, even the animals that work the soil. This is an agrarian culture. They're farmers. That's how they exist. Everything in the community of God is going to stop. Even the person who visits your community, the sojourner. Things are going to be so quiet they can't even find a job on that one day a week. The Sabbath rest in Exodus is not just for individuals. It's for an entire people. It's for the whole community of God as they ceased and rested and reconnected. Now, fast forward to the New Testament and Jesus. The Pharisees had assembled all kinds of rules around the Ten Commandments to make sure that the people of God didn't violate the commandments of God. And so they had created all these extra layers, all these circles around the law. And their own laws became equal to the law of God. And Jesus summarily violates human law, and he sets them straight. Mark chapter 2, Jesus and his disciples are walking through a field and they pick some heads of grain. They're having some live granola as a snack and they're making their way through. And the Pharisees see that on the Sabbath they pick some heads of grain and there's this whole confrontation. Jesus tells them a story about King David in the Old Testament. And then he says this. Mark 27, chapter 2, verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And with this, Jesus claimed to be God. He claimed deity. But he makes clear here that the Sabbath is a gift. It's not handcuffs. It's a gift from God to his people. Slow down. Refresh. Unplug. Be with me. Be with one another. You see, the Jews saw the Sabbath as a gift. Now listen how the prophet talks about this in the Jewish mindset. Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah's calling the people back to God. He says, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, that is, go away from it, from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight and a holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure, talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. What God is saying is if you will honor this, if you will re-engage and cease and learn to rest and be with me, I will bless you as a result. If you honor the Sabbath, then you shall, in verse 14, you shall take delight in the Lord. Last year, I started experimenting a bit with making homemade bread, and it was kind of fun. I don't know if any of you are homemade bread makers, but there's really hardly anything better, and it smells fantastic. But one of the things I learned was how to create what's called a poulish, which is a yeast base that you can put into the flour dough, and it works its way through the flour and leavens it. And the best poulish is one that's allowed to rest overnight so the yeast can do its best work and develop its fullest flavor, so that when you make the bread and let it rest and let it rise, when you finally put it in the oven, it is magnificent. In a lot of ways, life is kind of like that too, where if you learn to rest, you learn to unplug, you learn to be with God, it makes life and everything in it better. You see things more clearly. The most thoughtfully enjoyed life is the one that's not rushed. You see, you cannot multitask your way to holiness. Somebody should say amen. Right? You cannot, young people, listen up here, you cannot multitask your way to holiness. You see, it is possible to not work and not really honor the Sabbath. Right? It's possible to take a day off from your normal routine and fill it up with all kinds of other stuff. It's ceasing and being with. Those are the two pieces that define Sabbath. Let me say it this way. 24/7, 365 is a lie. Right? You cannot live nonstop, unrelenting, and still be the kind of person that God calls you to be. Rest is a gift. Read a book last summer by a Jewish author. This book is a kind of a classic, and it's simply titled Sabbath by Abraham Heschel. He says this: on Sabbath, we care for the seed of eternity planted in our souls. It's an interesting concept. We're nurturing this seed of eternity. Later in his book, he says, three acts of God denoted the seventh day. He rested, he blessed, and he hallowed the seventh day. That's what God did by setting that day apart. You see, we all need a rhythm of rest. We need a rhythm of daily rest. You cannot violate this indefinitely. We all need sleep. That's daily rest. Most of us need more than we allow ourselves to receive. But we also need weekly rest, the unplugging, the reconnecting, the recouping, the refreshment. Now, Evangel Church, here's the million-dollar question. How are you doing with this? How are you doing with Sabbath? In the New Testament era, we recognize Sunday as the day of rest. How are you doing? Are you creating patterns, boundaries, ways to wall off all the activity that our culture presses on us 24/7, 365? Are you slowing down? Do you have routines that you protect? What gets in the way or steals this moment of reflection or renewal? Do you know what will steal this from you? What's your temptation or what's your challenge? Let me say it kind of awkwardly. I think as Americans, we have to work at rest, right? Now, too many people are 24/7, 365, and we got to change that. The people of God are countercultural. And if you've never discovered what it means to have life with Jesus, it means to rest in Him, to abide with Him, to do life following Him and His way. And where that cuts across culture, so be it. Now, I want to ask my second question briefly. How is Sabbath and sabbatical connected? If you agree with me that all of us should honor and respect and create rhythms around Sabbath rest, well, what is sabbatical? For most pastors, they will tell you, actually, I don't know any pastor that would say Sunday is a Sabbath. Pastors work on Sunday leading up to it and after it. So we encourage our pastors in Converge, find a different day, find another day. Some take Friday, some take Monday, depending on the age of your children, Saturdays, whatever it might be. Find a different time to rest. Pastors need to take a Sabbath in a different kind of way. But what about sabbatical, extended rest? There's an interesting concept in the Old Testament that I think is worthy of our attention. When God was giving His people instruction about how to live as His people, He created this seven-year cycle of having the land enjoy a rest. It wasn't just for people. It wasn't only for animals. It was actually also for the property. You think about that. Leviticus 25, verse 3, "For 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its fruits. But in the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord." Rest for the ground. I mean, the ground doesn't got to do much, but on the seventh year, at least, it gets a rest. In God's economy, there's a whole cycle of resting. And some folks want to propose that the whole concept of this was just so that you don't deplete the land of its nutrients. You give it an opportunity to have a year off and so forth. And I think there's some truth to that. But I think it's more than that, because the seventh year is a Sabbath day to the Lord. It's a year to the Lord. The land was allowed to stop production. And God is teaching the entire community of God, the nation of Israel, His people, to alter their routines and rest. None of us can likely grasp the significance of a seventh year sabbatical for everything, for the property. But there's a linkage here that I think is helpful. This is my point. Every 7 years, it's good to shake things up and remind ourselves that we exist for more than production, for more than activity. Every 7 years, the entire community of God was reminded, we exist to be with Him. We exist to enjoy Him. Everything that we have is a gift from Him. And I think the people of God are reminded that God has a greater purpose for all of us. And I think this is directly relevant for this, your church. Let me say it this way. This church is not Pastor Levi's church. Amen? Pastor Levi, you better say amen. Right? This is not Pastor Levi's church. This is God's gathering. Right? And this reveals, I think, in a lot of ways that we need to recognize that this sabbatical leave is actually not just for Pastor Levi and Jennifer and their family, but it's for the whole church. It's for all, for the people of God, to do things a little differently. You know, interesting, I was researching sabbaticals last summer, and I discovered that some churches were afraid that their pastor, if he took a leave, would not want to come back. And there's kind of a tragic undertone there, right? If we give the guy a breather, he may discover he's locked down and he doesn't want that anymore. Even before the service, somebody was asking Pastor Levi, now you are coming back, right? But I also discovered in my research that some pastors fear that the church will do well without them. And that while they're gone, maybe the church will realize we don't actually have to have him. And a pastor, boy, it's a tricky thing sometimes. We serve out of a false sense of significance. The church needs me. Can't function without me. I'm irreplaceable. But that's not true, right? This is God's church. We're reminded this is God's deal. And no matter who speaks up here, and no matter who your senior pastor is, this is God's church, right? Come on, say amen. And I want to help all of us understand the significance of the decision regarding your church and your pastor's sabbatical leave. Right now, and I think you know this, but let me say it out loud. Right now, ministry has become uniquely challenging since March 2020. And your church was right on the cusp of crazy, right back in the fall of 2019 and March 2020. Hey, let's buy a Shopko building and renovate this bad boy and then watch the entire culture shut down. So this last 2 years have been incredibly, exceptionally complex for every church, for every pastor, for every ministry. And I remember talking with Pastor Levi over the last couple of years. He'd call me. We have some deal. We'd be talking it through. And I got to tell you, I love telling other churches about your church because I think the last 2 years, while complex, have been amazing, right? Now somebody should say amen to that too. It was scary. It was intense. Pastor Levi and I spoke multiple times. You know, you've been driven to prayer, a lot of uncertainty. But your pastor, like every pastor over these last 7 years, has gotten tired. And a sabbatical leave could not come at a better time. And so I commend you again. But here's the deal. This is not just an adventure for him or for his wife and their kids. It's an adventure for the whole community of God, right? Research shows that churches which create an intentional sabbatical policy have longer tenured staff and greater overall church health. The sabbatical leave isn't just a gift for Levi. It's a decision for all of us. It's an opportunity for every person who calls this their church home to grow, to engage, to explore how God might use you during this season. Think about it as the seventh year cycle of rest. The entire community participates, and things are a little different. So during this season, I want to ask you to pray. I want to ask you to pray for Pastor Levi, for his wife, their marriage, for their family. Ministry is it's a whole family deal. Pray for them. And during this season, I want to ask you, I want to encourage you to engage, to step up. Maybe you've been on the fringes wondering about how you could help out or if you should help out. Please, this is the community of God. Let's function that way. It's a chance to grow. The sabbatical leave is an opportunity for the entire church body. Let me give a couple of specific applications and I'll land the plane this way. Every person here that calls this your church home or online, you call this your church home, this is an opportunity for commitment to engage and be consistent in your own personal Sabbath rest. Don't just stop working, but engage in rejuvenating spiritual habits to stir your heart, your love, your affection for God. Let's do away with 24/7, 365. Let's start a new trend. I figured this out. Let's start a new trend. 16-6-3-13. 16 meaning, okay, you get 8 hours sleep. 6, okay, we're only going to work 6 days a week. And 313 means 52 days off a year. It's not quite catchy, but we're going to start a trend here today. 16-6-3-13, it almost rolls off your tongue. I already asked you to pray for your pastor, his wife, their marriage, their family. In my nearly 30 years of ministry, I've enjoyed 4 sabbatical leaves. And I would tell you, every time I discovered I was way more tired than I realized when I started. And when I came back, I was way more energized and way ready for whatever the challenges were that were ahead. Pray for the elders of your church as they make leadership decisions without the help of your pastor. Ask if you can help them, if you can volunteer, if you can show up in some way. Step up and engage at greater levels. This is not the season. Listen up to me here. This is not the season to say, I wonder who's preaching this Sunday and should I sleep in or go visit somewhere else? I know it's awkward, but somebody should say amen to that too. Get involved. And finally, let's ask God to do something amazing. Let's ask God to show up in this season and accomplish something that we could not have anticipated, that's breathtaking, that speaks, that shows, that illustrates that when we honor him and obey his word, he provides blessing. Let's ask God to do something amazing in this season, right? All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you that it's timeless, that it's relevant, that it's challenging, that it's countercultural. Father, all of this is only because of Jesus, who showed us the way, who provides real rest, spiritual rest in you, that we can abide in you and in your word, and you will change us as a result. God, do an amazing work here in this your church, and we all pray Pastor Levi and his family that this would be a spectacular time of renewal for them. God, we love you. Have your way in our hearts, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.